We are recording. So, as folks join, please enter your name and organization into the chat, and we will go ahead and get started. So, I am Megan Fox. I am the Division Manager for Program Evaluation and Research in the Department of Finance and Procurement. We actually just switched our name, so we are now focusing more heavily on grants. So it is Grants, Internal Audit, and Financial Analysis. This is session one of our training series for the spring that is focused on grant applications. So as I mentioned, this is session one. We will be focusing on building a compelling narrative and talking about budget development. We also have two additional sessions that will be coming through in the next couple of weeks. One is on using data and focusing on data collection and how to use data in supporting your grant narratives. And the third is reporting. How to report your information once you receive a grant. And then that session on March 7th will finish up with the restricted transient occupancy tax training. So if you are interested in our restricted transient occupancy tax grants, they will also be discussing the application process as a part of that. If we can go to the next slide, please. Thank you. Just a note for participants, we are focusing on general best practices. These are not specific guidelines to any of our local grants, nor are they specific guidelines to any of the notice of funding opportunities that may be coming available, but rather these are best practice guidelines based on the expertise of our staff, as well as the numerous grants that we have written over time. This purpose of this session is to really equip you with the knowledge, skills, and abilities to prepare narratives in a compelling way. So we do encourage you to be interactive and raise your hands, ask questions in the chat. There will be plenty of time for questions, and we want to make sure that the materials are as engaging as possible for you and that you are getting the knowledge and skills that you need in making sure that your grant narrative and budgets work for your purposes and for your organizations. And lastly, we do want to make sure that we increase participant understanding of standard proposal components. So throughout this presentation, as with the next two, we will provide several types of components, and you may also see differing names for components because across grants, depending on the agency, a narrative may be called an action plan. A narrative may be called your problem statement, or it may be broken down into different pieces. So we'll make sure to reference that as we move through the presentation. All right. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to our grants manager, Barb Lawrence. And Barb, if you want to introduce yourself first.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Barb Lawrence. I'm the Grants Manager in the Department of Finance and Procurement and under the same division as Megan. Welcome today. As Megan mentioned, we're going to go over general topics that are included in grant applications. So today's discussion topics include key elements of a grant narrative, tips and tricks to crafting a winning narrative, budget components, budget synergy with the narrative, and as Megan mentioned, we'll have time for questions at the end. So next slide. So as Megan mentioned, these are general components of a grant narrative. Each application varies, so it's very important to know and understand your notice of funding opportunity, or also what we call a request for proposal or request for application. Components that we're going to talk about today include organizational background, project description, need statement, project goals and objectives, and implementation plan. And again, these are general components. Things can be called different in different applications, but these are general components of a grant application. So next slide, we'll start with the organization background. Your organization background includes history. It tells what you do. It tells the population that you're trying to reach and what programs you have within your organization. The organization background includes organization information, history, your mission, vision, values, programs, and alignment to the proposal, and also past successes. It also includes a purpose or a win theme, which is a specific area of a proposal that makes your organization rise above competing agencies in meeting the needs of your grantor. The organization background generally is the first section of a grant and is intended to describe your organization, who is applying for the grant. It should establish the credibility of your organization and demonstrate capacity and experience that are related to the grant. Win themes are high-level statements that inform the underlying message of your response. They describe the why your solution is the number one choice based on your strategic advantage beyond the grant and the RFP requirements. The purpose of an organization background section is to establish your organization's credibility and qualifications for funding. It is your time to tell your story of your organization's founding, your current mission and programs, and the impact that you have had in the community. You want to basically toot your own horn, you want to brag, you want to let the funder know how your organization is worthy of their financial investment. So that's the organization background. Next, we have the project description. What you plan to do, how you will do it, why is your approach effective? These are all key components that are part of a project description. And now we're looking at your organization as a whole. We're looking at the programs within your organization. You may have many programs within your organization, but then what are those projects within the programs? So really dialing in on those projects. A project description outlines the details of one project, including all of its phases and processes involved. It addresses the problem that initiated the project and the desired goals and objectives. The project description provides clarity, defines scope, sets expectations, helps with planning, facilitates communication, all of which are essential for project success. Consider the following when crafting your project description. What is the project? Why are you doing this project? Who is responsible for each task associated with the project? Where will the project take place? When will the project take place? And how will it be implemented? The project description section should include a clear and concise explanation of the project's purpose, goals, and expected outcomes. It should also outline the scope of the project, including any limitations or constraints, as well as the specific deliverables that will be produced. So we have our project description. Next component of an effective grant narrative is your need statement. What is the problem, challenge, or need your organization plans to address? This can also be called an issue or problem statement, a justification, or also a description of need. This section documents the problem or need with data, linking it to the funder's goals and priorities. The need statement or problem statement provides the rationale for the request for funding and uses data and other objective resources that substantiate the need for finding a solution to the concern. A need statement is a crucial part of any grant proposal as it explains why your project or program deserves funding. It is the core of your proposal, and it should clearly identify the problem or gap that you aim to address. You should also provide evidence of its significance and urgency and demonstrate how your proposed solution will make a difference. Your need statement should establish that if the underlying problem or issue is not addressed, it will cause critical failure in your community. The purpose is to describe the scope of the need for your service, present facts and anecdotes that support the needs for the project or program. Problem statement questions should be answered based on the problem or issue your services are seeking to solve. Be specific about the problem and need. The purpose of a needs or problem statement is to present both facts and stories to support the needs of a project or program. It's really the heart of your program. It's your story. Prior to writing a need statement, your organization should understand what the problem is and its nature, reasons, and causes. The need statement should define why this program is both important to the applicant and of interest to the funder. A compelling needs makes for compelling projects worthy of funding. The problem or need statement will ultimately be about an area of concern, a condition to be improved upon, or a difficulty to be eliminated that requires understanding and deliberate intervention. Making the need and your credibility to solve the problem clear to the funder will make the difference between being funded or being rejected. If your grant application lacks a compelling urgent need, your grant will equally be unimpressive. Again, it's the urgent need that will get the idea funded. The statement of need drives your grant proposal and outlines why the project must be undertaken. Reviewers are smart, intelligent people who have to read hundreds of applications one after another. Your job is to make the reviewer's job easier by connecting all the dots and making it clear and easy to see that you have the magic solution to solving the detailed urgent need. So your need statement. The next is the project goals and objectives. What do you hope to accomplish through this project? Your goals describe how the solution is expected to change as a result of the grant program, and objectives identify anticipated outcomes and benefits in measurable terms. We like to use SMART goals that are specific, have a significantly greater chance of being accomplished. So those SMART goals are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant or realistic, and time-bound. Specific is what will be accomplished. What actions will you take? Are they well-defined, clear, or are they ambiguous? Measurable, what data will measure the goal? How much? How well? Specific criteria that measure your progress toward the accomplishment of the goal. Achievable, is the goal doable? Do you have the necessary skills and resources, attainable and not impossible to achieve? Relevant or realistic? How does the goal align with broader goals? Why is the result important? And then time bound. What is the time frame for accomplishing the goal? With a clearly defined timeline, including a starting date and target date, the purpose is to create urgency. To make a goal specific, ask the following. Who is involved? What do I need to accomplish? Where is the goal to be achieved? When do I need to achieve the goal? And why do I need to achieve it? So our project goals and objectives. And next, critical component of an effective grant is your implementation plan. This describes activities that directly support the achievement of your objectives. So what steps are involved in executing your project? Who is responsible for each of those steps? And what is the overall timeline? The purpose of an implementation plan is to ensure you can answer the who, the what, the when, the how, and the why of the project, of what we kind of talked about in the project goals and objectives. In simple terms, it's the action plan that turns your strategy into specific tasks. This plan combines strategy, process, and action, and will include all parts of the project from scope to budget and beyond. This section details activities to be undertaken, describing exactly what steps you plan to take to reach your objectives. A timeline and responsibilities are often included in this section. Responsibilities describe staffing and partner roles. An implementation plan addresses how will you measure success. It includes specific metrics given the grant performance period, and it also includes examples of past metrics and successes. When developing activities, it's important to not only list activities that are relevant to your specific objectives. If the specific objectives and activities are not related, it signals to the funder that you're not clear in what you want to achieve and don't have a good plan. The donor will unlikely fund such a project. Activities are how the project produces results, so it's vital the activities are well thought out and documented. And next, we'll have Megan talk about how to evaluate your project.
I first want to pause there. Thanks, Barb, and see if there are any questions on the components that Barb just reviewed. And if you can, either list it in the chat or unmute yourself, state your name and your question.
Megan and Barb, this is Beth Sostre, and I have a question. Okay. So I recently attended a conference with Virginia Corporate Extension about artificial intelligence and grants. So my question is, and they also said when we are submitting grants now, they go through artificial intelligence first. So how can we use that in our favor? Because, you know, everybody's going to be submitting something extremely good. And in which part of the components of the narrative, if you are aware that in artificial intelligence will focus more?
Thank you. Ooh, that's a great question. So I think there are a couple of ways we can address artificial intelligence in the narrative. Specifically, if you are linking and clarifying the first several components, Andrea, do you mind going back up to slide 7? All right. So there are a few things that I think AI can support. One thing just a disclaimer, AI takes in information regardless of whether or not it's true. So first things that you have are making sure that what you are entering into AI is your own project first, so that you can provide it with a description of the need of how you want connections to occur. And you have to really focus on ensuring that the information that comes out of it is accurate. There are several instances where reviewers may go into AI themselves and see if you just copied and pasted verbatim. So you really do need to make sure that when you're using AI, you use it as a tool to help connect your narrative and not to write your narrative. So for instance, you should know your needs statement and, you know, what problem or challenge you plan to address. For instance, if we're thinking about food insecurity or housing stability for families, one of the things that you would want to include are data that support this challenge. You need to know your population. AI can provide you with general information, but it's not going to tell you how to address it necessarily, right? There's only so much it can do. given that you are a specific organization. But you know, if you think about food insecurity, it can provide you with details about population statistics, for instance, that are more understandable potentially than pulling information from the census. So I would think about that in terms of your problem statement as clarification or creating a readable narrative that helps to support the problem you've already identified. When we go to the project goals and objectives, I think one piece is that your accomplishments need to be your organization's. And your goals and objectives should lead from what you already know you want to do in terms of your activities. Again, AI can only be as helpful as somebody else's activities, right? They are not going to specifically be yours. It can help in organizing, but it cannot help in addressing the specific organizational goals and objectives or project or goals and objectives that you have for your specific population and your specific project. So again, it can help to organize, but it won't provide the level of detail that you as your organization knows and what those goals and objectives are. And then for the implementation plan, I think, again, having an AI check is good, but the human purpose is to make sure that you are executing with all information. We actually did have a training on ChatGPT and some of the large language models that focused on organizing information. And what it does is it provides you with a basic framework to help with an implementation plan or steps, but they're very general. And often if a reviewer were to review those, they would say, okay, so where's, you know, what's in the black box? You're not giving me all of the information. It's very general. So again, being able to use AI as an organizing tool versus a tool to write for you may be the most beneficial, because I think it has its place, but we're still not at the age yet where it's going to know everything about your organization. It won't. So you have to make sure that you're the experts in writing for that specific narrative. That's a great question. All right. Any other questions? Right. So then we'll move on to evaluating your project. This piece, when you think about the evaluation of your project, it's how are you going to determine your project is successful? All right. That is the first question that you have to really ask yourself in putting together your project, because ultimately you have to be sure to include what measure is going to be successful. How do you know you were successful? So that goes back to the project goals and objectives, right? You want to serve, or let's say you want to develop an event for 1,500 people in Western Loudoun, and it is focused on the wine industry. Well, how do you know that you're going to be successful? The first is you've already stated 1,500 people. If you're below that, let's say you have 1,200 people, is that still successful? What is really the goal of the project or the event? Is it to showcase wineries and increase their sales? Is it to focus on preservation of the vineyards and Western Loudoun's rural aesthetic? So when you think about your goals and you think about those objectives, think about what the long-term outcome is that you want, not just how many people or how many projects you can produce. That's only one piece of it that gets you to your outcome ultimately. So that is why we need to really evaluate our project and use a theory of change. It's also called a theory of action and logic models to help describe what you will be doing in a way that is beneficial for the reviewers. So for instance, when you think about your goals, objectives, and activities, really the theory of change helps you to clarify the change at your program level. And what I have here is just a very basic equation that says if our clients' needs are fill in the blank, then we provide service which is fill in the blank, and the outcome will be. That is the most basic theory of change that you can come up with. But essentially, what we're trying to do is develop a comprehensive description of your program and then illustrate it for the reviewers. And essentially, the illustration should provide the inner workings of your project, your event, your program, so that you can say with very clear words and illustrations exactly what you anticipate will occur. Okay, so you will be making a lot of assumptions about the work that you will be doing, but it does focus on mapping out the process. And when you map out the process, often what you can find through illustration is your missing pieces, right? There are very, some funny, I probably should have put one of the comic book, comic reels in here. It's like, okay, we're going to, you know, provide this program. Then we're going to, you know, talk to population, and then the magic happens and it's in this black box. The magic is here. What's the magic? That's what reviewers want to know. That's what the evaluation can help you describe, is what's in that little black box, because they won't trust that you just know what you're doing. You need to describe what it is. Often in working through theories of change or a logic model, you want to start with your outcome first, as I just mentioned. So what is the big goal of your project, of your program? Is it to support, we'll just keep using the Western Loudoun example, is it to support farming in Western Loudoun with new technology? Okay, well, that's great. So then how do you get to that goal, that outcome of protecting the acreage that supports farming as an industry? Well, you have to think about the activities that would help support that. How do you know you did it? What's the measurement behind that? Is it the number of acres preserved? If so, what technology would fit best? So you start working backwards. You say, okay, then, you know, we can provide a service that with the new technology can identify areas that are focused on preservation or have key components of what's necessarily in our comprehensive plan, which is prime soils, which is land that is developable, but is also preservable. And then you continue to work your way back. What is the activity that I would be doing to help support that? So we really want to start with our long-term goal in mind. Also, some of the other assumptions that we need to think about are the necessary conditions to be successful. So it's not just how you measure success, but how do you get to success? What are the necessary conditions that would support your project or program? So for instance, that is, that's your personnel, that's your grant dollars. There are some necessary conditions that would require you to be able to meet your outcome. Other necessary conditions for an event, for instance, is that it's good weather, that you've chosen a time of year that fits for the event or for the festival or celebration, whatever it may be. If you're talking about human services, it may be the conditions of the intervention. So you would need a place to store food. That's a necessary condition of being successful in assisting residents with food insecurity. So there are several necessary conditions that you have to make assumptions on based on your knowledge of your project. And you know what it is. Often what we have to do is really open up our activities and ask, then what? Would someone just reading this actually understand? Right? Because you know your projects best. And what often tends to happen is you know everything that needs to go into it, but it doesn't translate to paper. This is an area where having too much info, what you may consider too much information, may be the exact right amount for a reviewer. You want to be very, very clear. What is step one? What is step 1A? What is step 1B? What is step 1C? Before you get to step two. So it just very clearly maps it out. Next slide, please. So once you are really clear with your theory of change or your theory of action, this is when a logic model can help support that mapping out of the entire process. And a logic model really is just a picture of all of your procedures, what the necessary conditions are that I just talked about. It's a brief way for a reviewer to look at your project in a visual format. It also includes very small steps in your project. So for instance, you know, you have your population that you know that you want to attract, that you know that you want to provide an intervention for. It will be best if you think about, once you have your necessary conditions or your inputs, to name the activities, those steps that we just talked about, 1, 1A, 1B, 1C, and then make sure that you have a measurement for each of those. For instance, if we have a housing need, and we know that there are unhoused residents in Loudoun County, for instance, activities may be conducting outreach, right? So that's step one. Step 1A is making phone calls to homeless shelters. Step 1B is making phone calls to affordable rental agencies to see what the actual information is, or what type of rental accommodations they may have for someone who is homeless or in needs of being rehoused. So that's what I mean when outreach is not enough. You have to explain each step individually. Each of those steps then provides an output. An output should be the direct result of your activity. So you said make phone calls. How many phone calls did you make? How many rental organizations did you conduct outreach for? Call, email, etc. Those are your outputs. Those are directly relatable to your activities. From those outputs, you then think about your short-term outcomes. As a result of my activity of outreach, I've conducted, 100 phone calls and emails to multiple organizations, to multiple rental authorities or rentals in the metro area. Then what does that get you? The outcome is now you have an understanding of how many people need to be rehoused and how many rental units are available, right? So that's a short-term outcome. You now have that information to start to put these pieces together. You would then go into intermediate outcomes, depending on how long your project is. And your long-term outcomes should directly relate to your goals. So we are looking at a line of sight from your goals all the way back to your initial activities. What a logic model is not, it's not a very detailed project or program description. That would be in the actual narrative itself. So your logic model is a visual depiction. The descriptions that I was providing will be in the narrative underneath the logic model. So you should anticipate that you write every step out so that the reviewer has a visual depiction as well as a narrative description of your activities and outcomes. It also is not the when things occur. That could be one component of a logic model is timing, but often it really is just depicting logical, relatable results over time. All right. I see a question in the chat. Do you have an example of a logic model? Yes, we can provide one for you. I tend to get a little lengthy when I start talking about evaluation, so I didn't want to take up too much time. We will send one along with our materials. So if you want to go to slide 12, thank you. So these are the logic model components along with their definitions. I think I've touched on most of these, but essentially what we're talking about are the inputs, which are the necessary conditions to operate your program, your activities that you would need to accomplish, 1, 1A, 1B, 1C, your outputs, which are the number of accomplishments that you've had. They are the direct result of your activities. So at the end of each day, you should be able to count up and provide an output of your activities. And then when we talked about outcomes, you're really thinking about the benefits to your clients, the benefits to your organization's goals, and the benefits to the population at large. Okay. When we think about the outcomes and impact, it really is how does this positively change the residents that you're working for? All right. Any other questions about theory of change, logic model? All right, seeing none, I will turn it back over to, I believe it's Barb.
It is. Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So just to wrap up this section of our presentation, we've talked about our organizational background. We've talked about a program description, a need statement, project goals and objectives, and then an implementation plan followed by an evaluation plan. So again, general components of a grant narrative, some tips and tricks to leading to that successful application is to really know and understand your notice of funding opportunity, or what we call a NOFO, or an RFP, which is a request for projects or applications, and follow the directions. This is really your map to getting a successful application. Read the directions, answer the questions, and follow it along. It is generally, they are very detailed, so that's the key, is just to follow the directions. Demonstrate your qualifications while also admitting weaknesses. It's okay to say that you don't have everything in place, but also have a plan. How are you going to address some of those barriers that you might have? Refer to previously funded projects. Funders typically, especially on the federal level, provide either a synopsis of or applications of previously funded projects. Look at those. You'll get a general sense of what the funder is looking for, kind of what they've funded in the past. Understand criteria for evaluating proposals. And particularly, again, the federal level, they will lay out the criteria for how they are going to evaluate the application. So oftentimes you're able to kind of map it from the questions to then how are they going to score it. So really look at both of those components. Write clearly and concisely. And then just have someone outside of your organization review your proposal. Someone that's not in the weeds of it every day, someone that may know your organization but isn't on the day-to-day, they can like point out that this really doesn't make sense or you're forgetting this, but have someone with fresh, clear eyes look at your proposals before you submit it. You know, while formal, an application is formal, you want to keep it simple. Language should be inclusive and unbiased. You should prioritize the community impact. And then demonstrate qualifications, again, as I mentioned, while admitting those weaknesses. Always use data to illustrate the project's significance and persuade the funder toward investment. Include results from past work, comparable project outcomes, or demographics from your target audience. You know, really look at, again, looking at that request for proposals. What is the funder seeking and how does your organization intend to address the funding need outlined in the request for applications? Often you refer to the request, use language that they're using in their request for applications. And then also, again, with your own review, notice the tone, notice the voice, notice the style. One thing to keep in mind when you're having several people writing different aspects of the application, keep in mind that voice. I might write in a different voice than somebody else. So ensure that once you're doing that final review that you have a consistent voice throughout the application. So those are just some simple tips and tricks to keep in mind as you're writing your proposals. And again, I think the biggest takeaway here is really understanding and knowing what the notice of funding, what the funder is looking for, and what their priorities are. So with that,
can I just interject really quickly, yep. Barb? I also just want to make sure that when you choose someone outside of your organization or even within your organization, it is okay to be a critical friend. This is something that I think is really important. If someone's asking a question or something is not clear to one of your internal staff or friends that are helping to review, it is not because they don't know. It is because they are helping you clarify for the reviewer. If they are not sure, the reviewer will not be sure. So make sure that when you think about your proposals that you think of it as a critical friend, someone who's not afraid to provide open and honest feedback.
Right. I'm going to share my screen. Can everybody see my screen? Okay.
Yes.
And I will go to our next. And with that, I will introduce Andrea, who will talk about developing a grant budget.
Hello, I'm Andrea Pineda. I am the Nonprofit Grant Support Specialist working on the same team as Barb and Megan. Happy to be here. In this section, I'm going to be discussing the grant budget. This portion is one of the most significant components of your project application, and it is a portion that evaluators will spend a significant amount of time looking over. A budget really demonstrates your organization's ability to not only use the funds you're requesting wisely, but that you're not, that the primary source of funding is not just from this grant, that you have other sources of funding, and that really reflects on your project sustainability. Next slide, please. There are two types of budgets that may be required of you. The first is the organization's annual operating budget and the project budget. Typically, for general operating requests, you'll only be required to submit your organization's annual operating budget. But for the purposes of this training, I'll be discussing your project grant budget. So what is a grant budget? A project grant budget is a financial plan that outlines the estimated income and expenses associated with a specific project or program for which you are seeking funding. Next slide, please. So some funders will require you to use a provided budget template, or you may be able to provide your own. Most project budgets will include the requested amount, which is the amount of funding that you are requesting, including eligible expenses related to the proposed project. And these are categorized as personnel costs or non-personnel costs. This may also include match contributions, which are a percentage of funding that you are required to allocate to your proposed project. Not all funders will require match contributions. So personnel costs include salaries and wages of staff who will be working on the proposed project, and this should be broken down by hours and roles to show how time is allocated to the project. I'll speak a little bit more on including cost calculations in the next few slides. But in addition to personnel costs, you will have non-personnel costs, which include expenses like overhead, supplies, any travel that's associated with the proposed project. You might also see these broken down in different categories. Sometimes budget templates might have them divided up into direct or indirect expenses. And basically, direct expenses are costs that are directly connected with the project you are proposing, such as project materials or program staff. Indirect expenses would include overhead costs or costs that are required for the success of the project, but that are not directly attributed to the specific project activities. Additionally, you'll have the income portion, which are all the funding sources that are specific to your project. This includes any grants from foundations, federal, state, or county grants, individual donors, any program fees you might have, as well as in-kind donations, which are non-monetary charitable contributions associated with your project. This includes things like donation of facility locations, things like that. Next slide, please. In addition to the aforementioned
Andrea,
components, yes.
Can I just interrupt real quick? We do have a question in the chat.
Okay.
And that is, what if staff are all volunteers? And Megan did address it. Volunteer hours can be calculated for an in-kind contribution to the work.
Mm-hmm.
So did that address your question,
Becky?
Go ahead, Beth.
So for the in-kind donations, sometimes it's hard to put a monetary value on some things. Is there a guide that we have through the county?
There is not a guide per se to in-kind contributions that are focused on county resources. What we have done in the past related to in-kind contributions is calculate staff salaries, where staff may be donating a portion of their time. We also calculate, for volunteers, there is a calculation of, I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $37 per hour. If you are a volunteer, that is the calculated rate. There are several ways to pull other in-kind contributions. And Andrea, you may already be planning to address that, but we can certainly send some information out related to in-kind costs.
The other, as far as like material things, it's also based on fair market value, so you can look at that as well.
Other questions? In addition to the components that I mentioned before, you may also be required to include a budget narrative. So a budget narrative is different from your proposal narrative. This portion would include descriptions of each expense, and it is a justification or a detailed explanation of each budgeted line item. It provides a space to demonstrate that each expense is both reasonable and justifiable. A well thought out budget will support and align with the scope of work you are requesting funding for, and it clearly demonstrates in what way the funds will be used and should reflect both the grant program priorities and also align with your proposed project. Next slide, please. So all expenses included in your budget must be allowable, clear and specific, and represent a cost associated with the funded project as described in your project narrative. When applicable, you should include cost calculations, and each cost should be rationalized within the budget narrative. Budget allocation should be clear and precise as much as possible. Avoid vagueness and instead be as specific as possible. Budgeted items should make sense to the overall project and demonstrate that the requested funds will be used wisely. In this slide, you'll see I have a few examples. So expenses should be allowable. Does the RFP or the NOFO consider this an eligible expense? This is where you're going to want to really carefully read through the eligibility requirements, the RFP, and make sure that the expense that you're including in your budget is allowed. They must be clear and specific. So, for example, if you're going to cost out a transportation expense, you could write it out this way. Transportation for 15 students from X middle school to youth center. So it's clear. You know what the budget doesn't just have the word transportation on it. It actually includes a little description of what that transportation means to your in relation to your project. It represents a cost associated with the funded project description. So transportation is required for students to participate in the youth program that you have described in your project description. It's a necessary cost. And cost calculations. So I've included the example of mileage. So if you would like to request funding for mileage for a youth coordinator to transport let's say a certain amount of students to the youth center, you could write it out this way. Mileage for youth coordinator, one, a total of 210, which means 4 miles, 3 times a week, 25 weeks, which would be the duration of your project, at 70 cents per mile. And then the 70 cents per mile, you could find I can send out, we can include that link as well, but it's the standard mile rate. It's the federal mileage rate that can be included in your budget. And all of these must be rationalized within the budget narrative. So for example, in your budget narrative description, you could write it out this way. The same thing, $210, 4 miles, 3 times a week. Yeah.
Andrea, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure, but Barb, there's something with this slide. We cannot see the narrative that's in the arrows.
I think if you click again, it's just a transition. I apologize.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Thank
Sorry
you.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Okay, so rationalize within the budget narrative. As I mentioned before, if you include the total cost, which would be 210, you just describe how you got to that. So 4 miles, 3 times a week for 25 weeks at the rate that you're including, which we're using the standard mileage rate, which is 70 cents per mile. For youth coordinator one, to transport 15 middle school students from X elementary school, X middle school to the youth center in Sterling, Virginia. So it's very specific. You're including the cost, how you got to that cost, And who will be participating or who's associated with that cost, the youth coordinator, if you have their name, you could include that as well, which elementary school and which location. So this would be very clear to the evaluators and would also kind of be a bridge for between your budget and also your project description. Next slide, please. The importance of an effective grant budget. As I mentioned before, your grant budget is super important when evaluating your project proposal. It builds trust with the funder. It demonstrates financial responsibility and ensures that the project is feasible and sustainable. A well-prepared budget will show accountability, commitment, and establishes relationships that lead to collaboration with funders. A grant budget shows your organization's commitment to sound financial management practices and helps convince funders that their investment will be used efficiently. A successful grant budget helps evaluate your project's financial health, identifies any potential shortfalls, and demonstrates long-term viability to funders. Next slide. So you want to make sure that your budget aligns with your proposal narrative. Your grant budget and budget narrative need to align seamlessly, and funders should be able to see that each component in the narrative of the narrative in the budget and vice versa. We don't want to include any costs that are not included in your project description and vice versa. We want to make sure that the costs associated with your project are within your grant budget and narrative and also described in your project description. The narrative and the budget should tell a consistent and compelling story of your project's goals, activities, and financial needs. As I mentioned before, you're really going to want to review your NOFO and RFP requirements. Many times, if you don't carefully review this, you might think that you can include a specific expense in your budget, and it just might not simply be allowed. If you're not sure about this, you can always refer to the RFP and any contact information that would be included in the application and just verify that your project, that the costs that you're including in your narrative, in your budget narrative and budget are actually allowed. You also want to ask yourself, does your project fall completely within the identified scope of the grant as defined? Is there a specific geographic location or type of organization eligible to apply for funding? Sometimes you might, your grant application might include information about geographic locations. You want to make sure that your project budget includes expenses that are only for a specific geographic location, if that is something that is required of the funder, by the funder. So things like that, you really want to make sure that you're actually reading the eligibility requirements and the allowable costs that are included in the RFP. That wraps up this section. If you have any questions, before we move on to, actually, the next section is questions, so this would be a great time.
Yes, if you have any questions, please unmute your line.
I have a question. So yes. Is there going to be in our county website, will be a place where we are going to have all this information for when we are writing grants and, oh, I forgot this, and how do I do this, or how can we go through this?
Yes, Beth, that's a great question. Yes, we will. There are currently specific grant information sessions out there, but we do try to update the public website and public web pages with our training materials that are available to the public. So all of this will be listed on the public web pages.
Thank you.
And Norita?
Yes, it's actually Narita.
Narita, sorry.
Yes. So I may have missed this, but I don't know that I did. Did you go over the difference between restricted and unrestricted grants?
Oh, that's a good question. We did not, not yet. So that is something that we can include in our next session. We can actually start with that. But essentially, you know, there are two ways. I don't know if Barb or Andrea, you want to discuss this. But there are, you know, restricted and unrestricted grants. And specifically, Narita, are you thinking about those with restricted funding or restricted activities, which is most grants that we see coming out of federal, state, and local?
So I guess I want clarification on what those terms mean. Because if I, for example, I hear unrestricted grant, like for mm-hmm. me, most grants have very specific guidelines for what mm-hmm. they will fund. Yep. Okay. Some are they have a very narrow focus or purpose in terms of what they want to support. Other grants tend to be a little looser. So mm-hmm. I want to make sure I'm using the terminology right. So when I go back to the organization, I'm using the lingo and it's appropriate and everyone's on the same page as to what a restricted, unrestricted grant versus restricted grant and what all that refers to.
Absolutely. And so restricted funding is mostly what we see coming out of the federal and state and local grants for that matter. The funds are restricted only to specific activities that are listed within the notice of funding opportunity. So when you are applying for those restricted grants, they tend to have limits on funding, the type of either personnel, equipment, materials, there will be restrictions related to that funding, and you can only use the funds for those intended purposes. Unrestricted funding is more like your operating expenses. So those would be where the organization can utilize the funding as they see fit. It's more open-ended mm-hmm. while still having to report. So, you know, one piece of that is making sure that as long as you're efficient, you are able to use the funds and report back to your funding organization. Those tend to be more on the donation side and the philanthropic side versus government side. So the government often, more often than not, is going to be restricted funds.
Okay.
Great question. All right. Any other questions? All right. Well, with that, we would like to thank you so much for attending this first session. If you haven't done so already, please sign up for our Using Data session, which is our next one on February 25th. And then we have one on March 7th for reporting. We look forward to seeing you there, and we will have the materials out to you as soon as we can. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Thanks. Thank you
Thank
all.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. And then stop the recording.
Where is that?
And you go over to the more. Oh, stop.